For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in for Bob Levicky. No more birthday holiday for Jefferson. The governor champions red flag laws, but gun control is a lead balloon in the West. Democrats want Northam's help to take control. Hurricane prediction gets an upgrade. And for equity in higher education, counselors need to get pushy. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, June the 20th, 2019. Albemarle County supervisors voted yesterday to stop celebrating Thomas Jefferson's birthday as a government holiday. As Haas Spencer from partner station WCVE reports, the move comes at a time of great scrutiny for the third president.
Albemarle County, which Jefferson called home and where he founded the University of Virginia, called it a government holiday. But the date, April 13th, 2 days before tax day, created confusion, says County Executive Jeff Richardson.
That's just not intuitively a day that private sector thinks of government services being closed.
Just one person addressed the supervisors.
We've seen as a demotion of Jefferson.
Richardson said that wasn't the intent.
We simply looked at this from a customer service vantage point.
Meanwhile, the city of Charlottesville, in a clear blast at Jefferson's slaveholding, has begun the process of replacing its identical holiday with March 3rd, the day in 1865 when local slaves were liberated. In Charlottesville, Haas Spencer, WMRA News.
Virginia tax officials are reminding taxpayers that they must file their individual income taxes by July 1st in order to qualify for the tax relief refund. The refund is the result of state legislation passed by the General Assembly earlier this year in response to the federal Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. An individual filer could receive up to $110, while a married couple filing a joint return could receive up to $220. The Department of Taxation will first apply the refund to a taxpayer's outstanding state tax bills or any debts to local governments, courts, state agencies, or the IRS. Refund checks will be mailed out by October 15th. Yesterday, state Democrats announced a coordinated campaign to flip the GOP-controlled state legislature in November's elections. They'll get help from a man they once rejected, Governor Ralph Northam. Also from partner station WCVE, here's Ben Pavier.
Long gone are the frosty days of February, when Northam's old allies called for him to resign in the wake of revelations of a racist photo on the governor's yearbook page. These days, Democrats like Senator Mamie Locke are comfortable appearing with Northam in public, including at a press conference earlier this month.
It is not a matter of forgive and forget. It's a matter of we have to work together to solve problems in the Commonwealth.
18 Democrats have accepted campaign contributions from Northam's fundraising arm since March. Now that group is joining with the state Democratic Party and caucuses in a coordinated campaign to flip the legislature, less than 6 months after those groups called for Northam's resignation. A spokesperson for the Republican Party accused Democrats of selling their morals for campaign dollars. Ben Pavier,
WMRA News.
Hurricane season has just begun. For the first time in 40 years, the National Weather Service has given its computer prediction service a major makeover that they say will make it more timely and more accurate. From WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
The system relies on new satellites, new weather models, and a more powerful computer to update its global forecast system.
It's more dynamic and should allow for more accurate predictions as we go out into the future.
Jeff O'Rourke, meteorologist in charge of the National Weather Service in Wakefield.
This will be pretty exciting for the upcoming hurricane season. It should be able to better assimilate what's actually happening around the core of a hurricane.
A report presented to Governor Northam before the start of Atlantic hurricane season said a storm like Florence in 2018 that turned south at the last minute could have cost Virginia up to $50 billion in damages, and when and where it was going was critical to know. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Are colleges and universities in Virginia equitable, or should the federal government be doing more to achieve racial and income equity? Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports from Capitol Hill.
One of the reasons some colleges and universities may be falling behind on equity is that advisors aren't pushy enough. Leaders at Virginia Commonwealth University are trying to change that, moving forward with what they call an intrusive advising model. Testifying before the House Education and Labor Committee, VCU Vice Provost Tamika LeGrand told members of Congress VCU is creating new and aggressive advising positions on its payroll.
When our leadership at the institution realized that we had advising ratios as high as 1,700 to one advisor, that did not allow us to be able to offer the kind of intrusive experience that these students need.
An intrusive experience to make sure they set themselves up for a job down the line and avoid dropping out. Committee Chairman Bobby Scott of Newport News says the rising cost of college and the weakening power of Pell Grants is causing a major imbalance of opportunity.
White students also complete college degrees at more than 1.5 times the rate of black students. In short, those who benefit the most from completing college are the least likely to do so.
Scott says one way to increase equity in higher ed would be for Congress to invest more money in Pell Grants. Back in 1980, he said a Pell Grant could pay for about 3/4 of a college education. These days, he says it covers less than a third. I'm Michael Pope.
Western Virginians are speaking out against Governor Northam's gun control proposals. The Roanoke Times reports that about 50 people packed a roundtable meeting on gun policy Tuesday in Abingdon in Washington County. Northam is pushing the legislation in the wake of May's mass shooting in Virginia Beach, but the crowd rebuked just about everything that was said by the roundtable host, Secretary of Public Safety and Homeland Security, Brian Moran. People called Moran liberal and said the Democratic governor and other lawmakers are trying to exploit a tragedy for political gain. Northam's bills include a ban on silencers and high-capacity magazines. He announced a July 9th special legislative session in response to the mass shooting. The shooter used silencers and high-capacity magazines to kill 12 people at a municipal building. For more on Northam's gun control bills, including red flag laws, Warren Fisk, editor of PolitiFact Virginia, speaks with WCVE's Craig Carper.
15 states have passed red flag laws that allow authorities to seize guns from people who are found to be a serious threat to harm themselves or others. Governor Ralph Northam wants Virginia to be the 16th state. He's called for a special session of the General Assembly starting on July 9th to consider this and other gun control measures. State Senator Cree Deeds, a Democrat from Bath County, backs the red flag law because he says it could prevent suicides. Here's what he said during a June 11th interview on the Virginia Talk radio network.
So-called red flag bill. It's been endorsed by a commission put together by President Trump at the federal level. It's been enacted into law in a number of states and shown to reduce the number of suicides by firearms.
Warren, you looked into his claim that the law has reduced gun suicides. What did you find?
Deeds was right in saying that Trump has endorsed red flag laws. They allow police and usually family members to petition a court to temporarily take the firearms from a person who there's substantial reason to believe is dangerous to himself or others. After a time, the weapons are either returned to the person or the court order is extended. There hasn't been a lot of study on these laws, mainly because they're a recent trend. Most of the states that have them passed them after the mass shootings at Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida last year. But there have been a few studies on the two states with the oldest laws, Connecticut and Indiana, which respectively passed them in 1998 and 2005. The studies measured the effect on gun suicides. More than 2/3 of the seizures in both states were from people who were judged to be suicide threats. One study was conducted by Aaron Kivistu, a psychology professor at the University of Indianapolis, and he found that from 2005 to 2015, Indiana likely saw 7.5% fewer gun suicides than it would have without the law. Kivistu said his analysis suggests that the law prevented 383 gun suicides and may be attributed to 44 suicides by other means. Connecticut likely saw 14% fewer gun suicides from 2007 to 15, but there's a catch. While the law may have prevented many gun suicides in Connecticut, that gain may have been offset by an increase in other types of suicides. Kivistu found that the law may have prevented 128 gun suicides in Connecticut and be attributed to 140 suicides by other means. Now, there's another study that we should mention by Duke University, and it estimates that one suicide may have been prevented for every 10 guns that was seized in both of the states.
So does this mean that suicide rates went down in Connecticut and Indiana?
No, and this is an important point. The number and rate of suicides, both by gun and other means, has gone up in the two states and across the country this century. What the studies say is that they would have risen even higher in Connecticut and Indiana without the red flag law.
So what did you rate Deed's statement?
He said that red flag laws have been shown to reduce firearm suicides. There have been studies in two of the 15 states with the law, Indiana and Connecticut. The gun suicide rate has increased in both of those states this century, as it has across the country. The studies found that it's probable the numbers and the rates would have even been higher without the law. So we rate Deeds' statement mostly true.
That was Warren Fisk, editor of PolitiFact Virginia, speaking with WCVE's Craig Carper. And for WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.